We live in a world where you have to pay attention to the future of the Chinese economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. A bunch of folks are meeting in a room in Beijing making decisions that affect the world economy, including American jobs. China's National People's Congress, that country's yearly policymaking session, is now underway. The Chinese leadership is trying to engineer the grand shift from an export-led economy to a more consumer-driven one. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So China has that target for its economy, growth of 7.5% for this year. Ours was running in the mid 2% range. So China's target sounds grand, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, even if they meet this GDP growth target, it would be the slowest economic growth in 24 years. It's going to take time and money to transform the country's growth model from one that depends on building infrastructure to one that depends on consumers buying things. I spoke to Beijing-based economist Arthur Kroeber today about China's GDP target, and he said China's habit of setting an economic growth target encourages local governments in China to speed up their growth artificially by building more, thereby falling back on what got China's economy in trouble in the first place.
What you really should be focusing on is the structure of the economy. Is it promoting broad-based welfare and generating good returns to households and so forth? And there are a lot of better ways to measure those outcomes than simply a GDP target.
Now, Rob, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang delivered the official work report to delegates today, setting the tone, I think, for the government. Any surprises?
Yeah, there were a couple. First off, Li said China is declaring a war.
A war. Tell me that's a metaphor, Rob.
It is. He said the government would declare war on pollution. It was a welcome remark for anyone here worried about the toxic smog that tends to hover over the country for much of the year. The other interesting thing that he said was that for the first time ever for a Chinese leader at this type of event, Li said China would promote the healthy development of internet banking.
Internet banking? Like what?
Well, Alibaba, the world's largest internet company, has set up its own money market fund called Yuebao, whose returns are higher than if you were to put your money into a state bank. And it's putting pressure on China's central bank to raise interest rates and to liberalize the financial system. So for Li to acknowledge Yuebao in a speech as important as this one is interesting, and it shows that the government may start to scrutinize services like this in the coming year.
Rob Schmitz, Marketplace's China Bureau Chief, thank you.
Thanks, David.
There are signs of economic strength coming from Europe this morning. A survey of people who do the ordering at factories in countries that use the euro grew at the fastest pace in 2.5 years, and retail sales across the European Union went up 1.6%, the biggest pop in over 14 years, actually 13 years to be exact. Now let's do some more numbers. With the meeting in Paris planned between the U.S. Secretary of State and the Russian Foreign Minister about Ukraine, the Russian ruble is down 0.2%, and the key index on the Moscow Stock Exchange is down 0.9%. London's FT100 is down 0.5% at the moment. In the U.S., the S&P 500 hit a closing high of 1873 yesterday. That's a record, but index futures this morning are pointing to a flat opening on Wall Street. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says only 26% of teens are employed, and just 16% of African Americans in that age group have jobs. That helps explain why young African Americans are looking into entrepreneurship. Gallup recently found that half of minority youngsters want to start a business. Afi Scruggs visited a school in East Cleveland, Ohio, where that skill is taught.
Even as a senior in high school, Kevin Alexander has business on his mind. His problem is how to get more customers for the company he's launched.
I own a steam cleaning business. The business is ran successfully by two entrepreneurs, myself as CEO, and also a couple of friends that I've hired to take care of the business while I'm out with the marching band.
He's learning how to run his company at Shaw High School, where he's enrolled in a business management class. The students learn basic concepts like market research and cost-benefit analysis. Teacher Colina Jordan says those skills separate teens who are serious entrepreneurs from their friends who have a side hustle.
So you'll find lots of students who will sell candy in class or do hair. They'll find ways to make money.
But serious business owners learn to account for the money they make.
Of course, the challenge, though, is things that are important to business in terms of record keeping and really tracking and knowing what you're doing.
Classes like Jordan's are especially important for minority students. They're more interested in being the boss than non-minorities. But it's hard to turn that passion into productivity.
Currently, I believe there are fewer work opportunities for teenagers than ever.
That's Carol Rifshin, head of Youth Opportunities Unlimited. It's a nonprofit that teaches kids to get jobs and start businesses.
Companies aren't hiring. There aren't as many summer jobs as there used to be. And this is really not good because we have found evidence shows that young people that have a work experience when they're 16 or 17 are far more likely to succeed in a job later on.
Kevin Alexander, the high school entrepreneur, doesn't plan to work for anyone but himself. If he does look for an outside job, what he's learned will make him as marketable as his steam cleaning service. In East Cleveland, I'm Afish Scruggs for Marketplace.
And the silly economics of America's copper penny. The U.S. Mint figures it costs 1.8 cents to make a cent and more than 9 cents to make a nickel. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Mint is already looking at ways to change some of the metals in coins to bring down the costs. Mixed into that huge budget proposal the White House released yesterday is a call for a comprehensive review of how we make change in America. Other countries have dumped their penny equivalents, but the budget doesn't mention that doomsday scenario. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.